This is DJ Serotonin coming to you from Sonic Bloom Music Festival in the hills of Georgetown. We've all come together in this beautiful spot to enjoy electronica music, yoga, alternative energy and healing, and art from all over the world. Happy to have made it. It was about a 3.5 hour drive from Paonia East, and there's several different camps of people here this evening who have come to build the infrastructure. We ourselves are part of a camp out of Paonia that's called the Lotus Camp. This is a camp that is created out of the Dreamtime Festival. We're here to install a piece of artwork that Eli Wolcott and a crew of volunteers produced at the Dreamtime Festival several years ago. There's a group from Carbondale and a group from Paonia who came together to refurbish the lotuses, which are a recycled metal art structure that has a propane flame that comes out of the middle. We're really excited to be setting those up tonight. The sun just went down. It's cooling off. Everyone's sort of putting the last finishing touches on camps and sound systems and art installations. And I have several interviews lined up for the weekend. I'm really excited about interviewing Lucent Dossier. They're a performing troupe out of the Southern California area. And then also have an interview lined up with Govinda and David Starfire, who are both part of the transformational music scene for a better part of 10 to 20 years now. I'll get back to you soon with some interviews, so stay tuned. Hi, this is DJ Serotonin coming to you live from Sonic Bloom Electronica Music Festival in the hills of Georgetown. I'm here with Govinda, and we're just chatting a little bit about the difference between the beginning of the rave underground culture and sort of where it's morphed and transformed in the last 20 years. How long have you been in the scene?
I actually haven't been in the scene as long as a lot of these people around here, but I've definitely seen it changed and grow through the years. My background is classical music, and I fell in love with electronic music and started to come to these parties, these raves, or whatever you want to call them, the festivals, just to play music. I never really attended them on my own, but I've definitely seen I've seen it change just in the 8 or 10 years that I've been involved. Definitely more into more holistic and transformational kind of loving art. It's all about the art and music and the people vibe, and I really like that. I like to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. This festival, we actually had the opportunity to set up some yurts in the art next to the Co-Dome in the art area, and came back the next day, and Tribe 13 had put all of the artwork up after, you know, we spent all night putting up the yurts. And I was taken aback with the level of artistic presence, not just with the music, but also with the visual artists. So there seems to be this like weaving together of this holistic, natural vibration in the music and in the art and even in the food and the yoga and stuff. There's still the degenerative aspect of the festival, and you know, there's still, you can tell that there's people who are having a hard time sort of keeping their camps together and keeping their scene together and stuff, but there's a lot of people here who are having almost a spiritual experience.
Absolutely. Well, this one in particular is one of the top, you know, 5 or 10% of you know, festivals that you'll find that. You'll find people who are coming to express themselves, you know, find a way for their creativity to come out into the community. And it's just a fun, beautiful time. Everyone's having a good time, and it seems innocent. And, you know, we're out in nature, and we're communing and making friends. And I'm really happy to be a part of this. I definitely see that there are other festivals, and they're not all created equal, where, you know, some more darker stuff is going on, but I think it's all moving into this lighter, more kind of spiritually backed kind of feeling of where people are just wanting to come and be in nature and be around their friends and listen to good music.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very much an exercise in community building. And the fact that it's such a tribal experience, too, because everybody kind of comes in and sets up these camps, and you're never really sure who you're going to end up next to, but there's all this sort of communing with one another and finding a place of acceptance for, you know, sharing the space, and so many new friends to be made. Yeah. It's such a really cool thing, you know, just all... In general, everyone being sort of in the same mentality and looking for the same sort of vibrational, uplifting experiences. And and I think it's true that even those darker festivals are moving in the direction, and the people are still there seeking, regardless of whether the festival tone or vibration is darker, they're still there seeking this connectivity. And that's really powerful. And your background in classical music, because of the orchestration of those pieces and the musicality of those pieces, and how a whole group of people must come together to produce these huge overtures.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy. I've never thought about it that way. I love the sense of community here. I think as human beings, we have a tendency to, you know, get into our own world and not go and meet our neighbors on the same, who live right next door to us in our street, on the same street, because, you know, we're in our daily routine, and this the festivals kind of give us an opportunity to let that go and really kind of open ourselves up to meeting our neighbors and hanging out and getting to know each other see what we got in common and have a good time together, and maybe we can bring that back into our daily lives a little bit and go meet our neighbor when we go home and bring him cookies, bake him a cake, you know, whatever, or hang out and just, you know, talk about life. So this is great.
Yeah, being able to find that common ground that we all share, those basic human core values that everybody shares the same needs. And so you said when you go home, share with your neighbors. When you go home, where are you going home to?
I live in Austin, Texas. I'm actually, I brought my family in. I have my daughter and my girlfriend, who both came with me this time. And it is Father's Day weekend, and I'm usually booked on Father's Day weekend. So this year I decided I'm going to bring my daughter with me so we can share this weekend together. So,
how old is your daughter?
She is 15.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so she's just now getting to that place where she can really, you know, appreciate the music and appreciate, you know, the scene a little bit. I think before she might have felt a little, you know, like, where are my friends? But she's having a great time this weekend.
I actually happen to be here with my 18-year-old. She just graduated from high school. And when I started all of this 20-plus years ago, hadn't really expected to be having a kid that young. But so she's sort of been with me through all of it, because I've always gone to festivals, you know, even being a young mother and a single mom, and always figured out ways to get to the festival and share the experiences. So it's really cool that you have your family here with you. It's definitely an interesting dynamic that I'm finding now that the DJs and the production staff and the artists are all starting to have children, that it's actually turning in the direction of becoming family friendly. I've seen a lot of young children in the audience, and it really changes the dynamic of a show from, you know, something that's in a bar late night in a club to, you know, a dance floor full of kids.
And I think anyone, no matter who you are, no matter how hard you want to party, when you see people, families and kids in the audience, you know, there's a sense of respect and playfulness that, you know, everybody's very respectful. And I feel very safe here. I think Sonic Bloom specifically is a great place to have a family-oriented festival. I probably wouldn't take my daughter just anywhere, but this is a great one.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Govinda. Have a wonderful weekend. This is DJ Serotonin. I'm here at Sonic Bloom with David Starfire. And excited to be seeing your set this week. And I've seen you several times over the last couple of years, Symbiosis and Lightning in a Bottle and different places over the last few years. Came from Southern California. Tell me a little bit about your music.
What I do is I try and combine ancient instruments that are 300 years old from around the world, mostly instruments from Asia and Africa, and combine them with cutting edge bass music that all flows well together on the dance floor, where it kind of brings someone to that place of where they can journey but tap into their DNA with music and vibration of instruments that have been around for hundreds of years.
Which is a really powerful combination when you've come together as a community of people to experience this neo-tribal music. And a lot of people have these transformative experiences at these festivals. Do you remember the first time you had a similar experience at a festival?
I would definitely have to say Burning Man was my first festival that really brought me to another place that I hadn't been before. And it's probably still the most amazing festival. I mean, it's kind of in a class in its own for what it is and what it has become. But yeah, there's so many amazing festivals now that it's really, really awesome. But Burning Man still definitely has a really close place to my heart.
Awesome. When was your first Burning Man?
1989, and there was 15,000 people.
It's classic. When I was about 15 years old, I ended up on Bolinas Beach at one of the first sort of ragtag get-togethers that had happened up there, and had no idea what it was or what it was called. And many years later in Rolling Stone, read an article about, you know, the beginning of Burning Man, and sort of realized that I might have actually been on the beach when that all started. And so it's kind of cool. What have you seen change about Burning Man or the festival scene in the last, you know, 20 years or so?
Well, I think that, you know, Burning Man, I've seen really amazing changes over the past few years with lots of different transformative festivals that have been popping up. And Burning Man, since it was kind of the first one, as every festival or club or scene that happens, it changes and it evolves. And there's a lot more people that know about it. It's quite large, 60,000, 70,000 people. And it's always going to be an amazing festival. I think that, you know, the changes, you know, there's some positive, some negative things, but, you know, it's changing and evolving. There are a lot of newer festivals that are happening that are like 2 or 3 years old, and it's like there's something about new and fresh and this energy that happens, you know, at the very beginning that down the line kind of gets lost a little bit, or just changes. I wouldn't say lost, it changes into something else, because everything, you know, has to evolve at some point. But I think there's a climax or a magic point in time for any sort of scene or festival or club where things are really happening on a certain scale that, you know, it reaches a certain point, and then after that it changes into something else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like the cycles of life. You go through your infancy and into your, you know, toddler and elementary school. And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny to think about. I wonder what stage Burning Man's at. It's sort of at its, like, I don't know if it's at its awkward teenage stage where it's rebelling against its, you know, founding fathers, or, you know, maybe it's at that I moved out, but I want to move back in and live on the couch stage.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think right now might be in its Saturn return.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
That's, I can really feel that.
With the lottery situation and the ticket selling out, and there's so many things that have, you know, major changes with Burning Man. The founders of Burning Man, you know, cashing out basically.
Right.
And basically selling the festival to another entity. So there's a lot of things that have been going on, but all good.
And with all those changes, what do you see for the future of the scene and the festival, the transformational festival scene?
I think that the festivals are just going to grow, and this is just the beginning of something really amazing. And I think that it's just going to get bigger and bigger, and you know, there's a few recently just in the past year that are cropping up in the East Coast, and mostly was West Coast festivals in Canada, and now there's festivals on the East Coast and the Midwest that are popping up. And so it's definitely spreading in this consciousness, this wave of consciousness, I believe, that's happening since, you know, the end of the Mayan calendar, is really transforming people, you know, all across the world.
It really feels like it's going to take roots also and become more sustainable and more permanent, sort of like the Boom Festival in Spain, how they have a piece of property that they're building infrastructure on, and you know, being able to put in gardens that are feeding the attendees at the festivals and things. And so that's a really exciting innovation for festivals, to kind of become permanent and sustainable in its location.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the next step. And there are some festivals that are looking into buying land. And, you know, I hope that that continues and also builds communities beyond festivals, where that they grow their own food, they have their own resources, they're not reliant on city water and, you know, plumbing, electricity, where they can just be self-sustaining. And I think that that's really important.
This is Sarah Tonin with David Starfire at Sonic Bloom in Georgetown, and we are sharing a transformational weekend together. So this is DJ Serotonin. I'm coming to you from backstage of Sonic Bloom. I'm here with some members of the Lucent Dossier, who just finished an amazing performance. I'm so moved and touched by your offering. And we're lucky to be speaking with
Frankie Metaphase.
And what do you do with the Lucent?
I co-produce the electronic music for the show and also play drums and percussion.
Okay, and we're also speaking with
Atla.
Atla, and what do you do for the show?
I co-produce music and play live guitars.
Beautiful. And then we're also speaking with a long-standing member of the show. Your name is?
Roger Foas.
And what do you do with Lucent?
I choreograph. I sometimes am known as Ringmaster Roger.
Ringmaster.
And I do a lot of the character performances as well.
Terrific. I've actually been a huge fan of Lucent for many years, and tonight I'm especially moved by the progression that you've made from where you started, some of those original videos where you guys are down in the canal in like LA. Roger, you might remember some of that. Tell me a little bit about the progression that you've seen with the troupe over the last...
Well, the very beginnings of Lucent was through the ideas way back during... a Burning Man idea of creating magic and theater and circus. And we performed at Sea of Dreams, which was a New Year's production. And a lot of us performers were, a lot of the performers did not have any background, professional background.
So it was a grassroots sort of, you know, ragtag bunch of kids, or how did you come together?
Well, Dream Rockwell, our artistic director, saw the passion in a lot of the nightlife after hour parties and
sort of cabaret club kid scene.
Something like that. She saw the passion in certain people, and she brought them in for this one night at the Sea of Dreams.
Sea of Dreams. What year was that?
I believe it was 2004.
Okay.
And from that, a lot of those people thought it was just going to be a one-time event, but we really made this amazing performance that people really loved and always asked to come back and perform for their events and their events, and it just grew into this magical family.
I really appreciated the musical offering tonight. It reminded me, it had elements of one of my favorite bands, Pendulum. I don't know if you've driven any of your sound or stylings from them.
You know, I'm a big fan of drum and bass, and I've loved UK and US drum and bass for a long time. So breakbeats and bass lines are definitely an influential flavor in a lot of our sound, and we like to fuse that with world music and live instruments. But I would definitely say like Pendulum, Andy C, Shimon, all those guys have been a big influence on that sound for sure. And I love that. I love that drum.
Yeah, it's a very powerful driving, almost like driving the emotion up out of the body. And, you know, the body can't help but, like, start to move and gyrate. Speaking of beautiful bodies, we've been joined by one of the dancers. What's your name?
Maggie.
And what do you do at the show?
I'm a singer and clown, mostly.
Singer and a clown.
We kind of, like, dibble-dabble in all sorts of different arts of the group.
Of the performing type.
Yeah.
And how long have you been with the troupe?
Since 2008.
2008. And how many people are in the family now?
And the family is constantly growing. And
as family will.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The family is always about exploring new territories and exploring ourselves. The core members are roughly about 20, I suppose.
Okay.
But there's always people ebbing and flowing. Lucent is about collaboration and family.
Thank you so much. This is Serotonin with KVNF.